shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. So he's saying right there, cast away and repent of the sins that you have, that you may see clearly to discipline your brother. And in doing the discipline, you should do it in a loving way also. Verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. The people of this world trample all over the Word of God. So we shouldn't... That's not saying that we shouldn't minister, but I'm thinking it's saying that we shouldn't give holy things to the people of this world. They trample all over it. Verse 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. James 4:3 says, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. And what that's saying is, that word amiss means to, that means not quite right, inappropriate, or out of place. When you pray to the Lord, you shouldn't ask for worldly things, temporal things, like food and clothes. But you should rather ask for guidance and influence of the Spirit, direction, and ask it in faith towards the Lord. We shouldn't be worried about these temporal things that we have in the world, but rather ask for heavenly things. Our focus should be on heavenly things. For everyone that asketh, and when you ask these things, you will receive it. Verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So this is referring to the verse that was just mentioned. If you're one of God's children, you truly ask for something, again, something that is, I don't know, I would say that you should stray away from worldly things. But if you ask of heavenly things, I don't see how the Lord would deny it to you. Deny it from you. Verse 9, or what man is there of you whom is, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? So, I don't have children, but I know that if I did, I would try to provide for them the best I could. And referring to my parents provided for me, and they still do. So why would God not provide for His children? Why wouldn't He provide for His children? If you look at the, how He refers to bread, bread is mentioned in that verse. Jesus said that He was the bread of life. He is the bread of life. You look at John 6:35, and Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So our need should be also in spiritual bread, not just physical bread. Our need is in spiritual bread. Verse 10, or if he ask a fish, will you give him a serpent? And so we see another example of what Jesus is trying to say to them about how God will give to His children. And Luke 11:12, it's the same thing, but I just wanted to give another example. Luke has, or if he shall ask an egg, will ye offer him a scorpion? So in verse 11, it says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So, all men are born sinners and evil, and if evil men today provide good gifts to their children, how much more will the Lord give to His children? Just think about the Lord's love. Our love is imperfect. We have an imperfect love, but the Lord, He is perfect in everything. And that includes His love for His children. He has a perfect love. So there's no reason to doubt that He wouldn't provide for His children. Verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye them even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So what he's saying there is to treat others how you would want to be treated. Love your neighbor as yourself, and your enemies too. Love your neighbors as yourself and your enemies. Matthew 22 36 through 40 says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." A lot of people today are on this road, the road that leadeth to destruction. Jesus is the way, and He's the only way to enter into the straight gate. And there are few that find it, it says. And no one can choose this path neither. For it is a it takes God-given faith that allows one to enter in through Jesus onto this path. The flesh hates this path. The flesh hates the path that we travel on. And only believers travel this path. It is the grace path. Verse 14 says, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." This path is not an easy path, neither. It is compressed and troublesome. But this path leads to life and everlasting life with the Lord. So nothing on this path that we travel can compare to what we will have at the end of the path with the Lord. Romans 8:17 and through 18, y'all have heard this before. It's very familiar. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So those are pretty comforting words. What we're going through right now, like what was said this morning, what we're going through right now can't be compared to what we will have. Verse 15, "Beware of the false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." So outwardly, these men seem to be right. They seem to be, they act religious. They seem to be right. But on the inside, their hearts, they are fakes, and they mislead others to destruction. Isaiah 9:16, "For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed." Matthew 16:11 says, "How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how they had bade them not to beware the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." So the teachings, he told them to beware of the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The doctrine that these men had were corrupt, and it should have been avoided. And doctrine that we see today that's incorrect, we should avoid it too. Verse 16, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" So, we don't truly know a man's heart, but we can tell if they're saved or not, or we're pretty confident that they're saved through the fruit that they produce. You can see it through the fruit that they produce. And Matthew 23:28, I have, "Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." So that's talking about the Pharisees. And so we should beware of the false doctrine out there. If there's any hint of glory being taken from God and given to men, it isn't good, and it should be feared. If there's any glory being taken from God, we should fear it. And you see in that part where it says thorns and thistles, that is considered sin. If you look back at Genesis 3:17, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So the false doctrine of the Pharisees and men today produces no fruit. The false doctrine produces no fruit, and nothing but thorns and thistles. It is all sin. So, verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So either the tree is good or it is bad. The fruit it produces to show that the tree is good or bad is the result of that tree. The fruit doesn't make the tree good or bad. It's either bad or it's good. The fruit is just the result. In verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Where you see that part, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, if you look at 1 John 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And if you see the part, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit, it shows that a lost man cannot please God. A lost man cannot please the Lord. Verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So it is by their doctrine that you shall know them. If it was by their good works that you should know, if you knew them, then it would fool us as they have fooled themselves, if they were known by their good works. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So not all men can call Jesus Lord, except through the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Just because a man confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord doesn't mean that he or she is saved. There will be a lot of people that will confess that Jesus is Lord but will die in their sins. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Many will say to the Lord in that day about the works that they have done, and they will ask, what about the wonderful works that we did in His name? The Lord will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, that ye that worked iniquity. That's a pretty terrible thing to hear from the Lord of Lords and the Creator, the Alpha and Omega, the ultimate. To know, to hear that from Him. I never knew you. Depart from me. To know that you will suffer for all eternity. That's a pretty terrible thing. And also to know that what you thought were wonderful works, what you thought what you were doing were wonderful works, were nothing but works of iniquity. Pretty terrible thing. 1 Peter 1:24, for all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass wither away, and the flower thereof falleth away. Outside of Christ, we have nothing to offer. All our works are as filthy rags. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. So what is he saying there? Believing the truth and practicing the truth is building your house on the rock. When you see that these sayings of mine, that's basically everything that Jesus has said in this sermon. If you refer back to Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Do you have a poor spirit? Well, we all do. Every man does. Everyone has a poor spirit. We're all spiritually bankrupt. If you then realize that, then there is no hope because of this. But there is a hope. The only hope that there is lies with Jesus Christ. He is our only hope. Verse 25, and then rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. That rock's Jesus Christ. You realize that you're a sinner and you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then your house is upon the rock. Jesus is the rock, and He is firm and unmovable, and you can rest upon Him. 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Everyone that is not saved, their fall will be great. It'll be very sad, but their fall will be great. And it came to pass, when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. They were astonished at it. And for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Jesus had and still has complete authority because He is God. He has complete authority. And one day He's coming back for His people. It is what my hope is that He comes back. And I know if you're saved today, is what your hope looks to is the return of Him. But He has authority, and one day He's going to bring His authority with Him also, and judgment. But with that, we want to have an invitation.